This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This episode is brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. Today, we get to talk with Charlie Behrens.
And I'm not saying ignore your own needs, but, you know, when you take the focus off yourself, life gets a little bit simpler.
Charlie is an Emmy-winning journalist, comedian, and creator of the Manitowoc Minute. The Wisconsin native has been featured on Fox, CBS, Funny or Die, TBS Digital, Variety, MTV News, and more. He's really funny. And I think he's also a pretty good guy. Please welcome Charlie Behrens. Hey, hi, Charlie.
How are you? You got to tell your Aunt Mary I says hi, okay?
She would be all about that. I got a couple of invites for you, by the way, to get to Waupaca this summer if you want to go and hang out.
My uncle's up over there.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I gotta ask you, first of all, why you got to be so braggy?
Oh, sorry.
Fox, MTV.
Oh, that.
That's, all of it.
See, I didn't write any of that stuff. Someone else wrote that. And then, I don't know. I didn't write any of that.
It's so. Just their job to make you look good.
I guess so. Yeah. It's kind of goofy that. You know?
So
it's really embarrassing when people read it, you know, because a lot of that stuff was years ago. I forgot I even did a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering what happens when you go home now. By the way, where is Wisconsin home for you?
Milwaukee.
Oh, I love it. And the other thing I wanted to let you know is, I don't know if you've realized that I've kind of been like stalking you like backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of like following you, I've been like sending you videos from all over Wisconsin when I've been speaking in different places. And I didn't realize, like, I thought it was just me who really thought you were funny. And then I realized, like, there are a lot of people out there who really dig you.
Well, that's very kind of them. You know, I try to bribe people as much as I can to get those good reviews out there. I find that to be the most effective way to solicit kind comments from others, is a little bribery in the form of venison, actually. And if you would like any venison, I do have some in my garage freezer. I did just hit the deer the other day, so it is pre-tenderized and fresh.
Friend,
so something to think about.
I got a deep freeze right behind me here, and it is full of venison. So
is it? Nice.
Yeah, I can open it.
From the meat raffle, or did you get a deer?
Oh, no, we got a deer. We got a deer.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we had it made into little hamburger patties, only they're venison patties. So.
Oh, them are good. Yeah. Them are very good. Underrated, I will say.
They are. I know. No one else in the house will eat them, but I'll eat them.
Yeah, they're good.
My son who hit the deer will eat them.
Yeah.
I was flying home from Appleton the other day, and you know how they say, take your computer, your electronics out of your bag? This woman was literally yelling, cheese and sausage out of the bag, please. Got to take your cheese and sausage out of the bag. I was like, is she kidding right now? Where's Charlie?
That is a whole thing. Midwest TSA. I didn't realize you had to take your cheese and sausage out of the bag.
Oh, yeah, you do. So don't.
I've been doing it wrong. Well, I got TSA pre-check. Now, that is a flex right there. Sorry to do that.
I have TSA pre-check, and I still had to take my cheese and sausage out of the bag.
Really?
Truly.
Really? Wow. I must have had a lackadaisical TSA person, because I've never, and I have flown with both cheese and sausage. I have. Yeah.
Specifically cheese curds. Yeah. The squeaky kind.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into an interview here, should we?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Because I am wondering, I know that you have tons of stand-up comedy shows on your tour. And, you know, I'm really wondering if you've noticed at all a difference. Do you feel like people need to laugh more or is it the same?
You know, I've been touring for a while now and since the pandemic, and especially initially, people are very excited to get together. And I just think generally speaking, we all appreciate it a little bit more. And there's a lot of people who I think discovered my stuff during COVID, because there wasn't much else going on. And I didn't have much else going on. So I was just doing a lot more videos. And so it's kind of nice to see that, and nice to see a lot more people come out. And then when they are out, the energy in the rooms has really been great. I can't really remember it being as good before, but maybe I'm just being biased, you know, but it definitely, there's a great energy out at these live shows. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky to be able to do them, you know.
I feel that way when I go in front of an audience too, that I'm not doing sold out comedy tours. I'm not actually even doing anything with comedy, but I do feel like super grateful to be able to lay eyes on people again. And it does seem like they just are more engaged and wanting to be, you know, a part of it.
I mean, it is good for us to be together. If we only connect over social media, you know, we see social media doesn't really, at its best, it allows people to connect, but it's usually, we've seen it at its worst, which is just a lot of divisiveness and all that garbage. So
who are the people who kind of made you, you? And I don't mean like the comedian, I mean like you. Who are those people?
Definitely my family, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, my siblings, you know, and, because I'm from a big family, you know, I'm one of 12. So you learn pretty early on that, you know, this world is not about you. And it's not about you, but it's very much so not about you, just you alone. And I think that mentality of, of just find your place where you can help and you'll be good, you know. And if you can just help someone out, you're doing what you got to do, and everything else on that is like icing on top of the life cake, you know. But you gotta ask what you can do for the world you live in, your community around you, and if that's their first thought, you know, I think we and I'm not saying ignore your own needs or whatever, but you know, when you take the focus off yourself, life gets a little bit simpler.
It does, doesn't it?
I think so.
I can't let this go without asking, you have 12, or you're one of 12?
One of 12, yeah.
So my dad was one of 11, and you know, big uh-huh. Catholic farming family. And yeah. And I still don't know all of the names of my aunts and uncles, which is okay because most of them have died. But do you know the names of all of your siblings?
Oh, Andy, Charlie, Billy, Betsy, Maggie, Mary Kate, John, and we know Bridget, Ellie. Yep, know them all.
Woo!
Yeah, I've had a lot of years to memorize those though. So if you have, you know, 30 plus years to memorize your siblings, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You better. Which one's your favorite?
I don't want them to know they're my favorite, because otherwise they'll take advantage and they won't be my favorite. But I for sure have favorites.
Sure. And the ones who are know who they are, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But they can't know. They can't know that I know that they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be public about that. No, that would ruin everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to keep some stuff under the vest to keep them, you know, working in your favor, you know?
So, by the way, I forgot to show you. Do you see what I'm wearing? Guess what?
Oh, you got an Ope tee. That's nice.
I know. You like that?
Those are good. Yeah. Where'd you get that sucker?
Well, I ordered it online because I live in Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are good. You know, you can have a good tank top. tan line with those suckers, you know,
when I'm out mowing the lawn.
State Fair tan line, you know. Yeah, not this time of year. Although if you do go ice fishing, you could get a good, that snow reflects the sun pretty good. So you get a double tan going.
Right.
More like burning for me, but you know.
Yeah. I did actually go ice fishing.
Did you? What'd you get?
Nothing. I actually, when I say I went ice fishing, what I mean is I went to my brother's cabin in Minocqua, and I watched out the window as he took my 11-year-old out onto the ice.
Oh, nice.
Is that considered, that's mom ice fishing, right?
Yeah. I mean, that definitely counts. That counts. As long as you're watching, we'll say that counts.
Okay. Thanks. Like as I saw the tip up go, you know, like, hey, fish on.
Yeah. And did you chase after it at all or? The tip up? No, you didn't, huh? Well, you'll get that the next time. You know, that will just set a little internal palpitation to your heart, and you'll have no choice but to run that one out and get that fish.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, so anyway, we were talking about the Kindness Podcast. And so because it's the Kindness Podcast, I like to ask people about stories of kindness. And so I'm wondering if you have a time in your life that you can say, like, you know, whether it was the kindness of God just intervening or whether it was someone, a person being kind to you or a time when you were kind to somebody else and it just felt amazing.
Well, honestly, I had one recently and it might sound simple, but, you know, it was snowing out and I woke up and my whole walk was shoveled. I got no idea who did it. I got no idea who did it, but I was like running late for a few things. And, you know, you don't want to be that one guy on your block who doesn't have his walk shoveled.
Right. No.
You know, I have a feeling I was that one guy, though. And someone was just like, I'm just going to do it. But no, because I was going to be late because I had to, you know, get that walk shoveled. And then I got out there. It's like, oh, they shoveled it. Sweet. And then I had the 5.8 minutes I needed to not be late for the other thing.
Yeah.
So very simple, very small, but I really did appreciate it. And that's a good recent one.
More from Charlie Behrens in just a second. But first, let's talk about our awesome sponsor, United Faith Mortgage.
My Aunt Mary's not so great at using the internet, and she tried to order something and ended up ordering two of them. So then she had to call the business and say, hey, I think I just ordered two and I only want one. So she calls this business. She ends up with this woman who yells out, hey, Herb, this lady wants to know if she ordered one or two. And so Herb gets on the phone. The lady was Herb's wife, and he's as sweet as could be. Looked up her order. He figured everything out for her, and it was just a really, really pleasant experience. That got me thinking about United Faith Mortgage, because United Faith Mortgage is one of those family-run teams. It's pretty cool. So it's run by a father and son, John and Ryan, and John's wife, Denise, or the sister-in-law, Barbara, answer like almost every call. So if you call, you're probably going to get Denise or Barbara. Tell them I said hi. So if you are looking to buy a home or to refinance, this United Faith Mortgage team is lucky enough to be part of the arm of a bigger company who's a direct lender. So that means that they get to use their own money, make their own decisions. There's no middleman. Isn't that cool? And don't you want to like be able to talk to a Herb or a Denise or a Barbara? Of course you do. Way more fun. Check out United Faith Mortgage. We're just so happy that they sponsor this podcast. I love them. I know you will too.
And now back to Charlie Behrens. So I was under the impression that you're living in LA right now, but that they don't have snow in LA. So are you living somewhere else?
Milwaukee. Yeah, no, I don't live in, I lived in Los Angeles for a couple of years. Well, I lived there a couple times in my life when I first moved out. When I first moved out of the Midwest, I was a production assistant out there, which is basically a guy who gets coffee for people have more important jobs. And then I was like an entertainment reporter. I did red carpets and stuff, was doing producing some news stuff out there. And then I started doing stand up, and then the Manitowoc Minute bit took off. And then I was like, great, I don't need to be in LA anymore. So as soon as I didn't have to be there anymore, I left. I was never a huge fan of LA. I mean, I always wanted to get back to the Midwest, but you know, when I was kind of coming up, the making a career on social media wasn't really a viable. You had to go to LA to get into the entertainment business. So that's kind of what I did.
Right. Right. So was comedy always your goal, or was it journalism?
Yeah. You know, not comedy. I sort of fell into through journalism. So I started doing, kind of hosting stuff, entertainment based. Jon Stewart was big. So I was trying to emulate that. And I was working at this production company, and I would take the lights out to sets, and I would like, we were doing a lot of interview shoots. We would do the behind the scenes extras for DVDs. That was what the production company did. And I was the set PA. So I would get on set. I would set up the lights, set up the camera, you know, and then break it all down and take it. Well, the nice thing about that is I knew how the camera and the lights worked. So after I got done working, I went back to the production company, set up the lights and the camera, and then started shooting like these little bits that would become my reel. And then through that, I got a job at this company called 1 Minute News in Greenville, South Carolina, of all places. But it was a YouTube news channel, and their whole thing was they wanted short 1 minute news bits, and they wanted them to be funny. So that's when I really started kind of getting into comedy, which was like, you know, when you're writing a punchline, it's set up punchline. And in the same way, with news, it's like headline punchline. And so I've been doing the headline punchline or the fact punchline model, you know, since like my early 20s. So when I eventually did do the Manduog Minute, that's that format as well. It's headline punchline, headline punchline. So I was pretty well versed in that by the time that I ended up pursuing that idea.
When I get the chance to talk to somebody, they often will comment on my accent, and it's not like
you got a nice one.
Well, thank you. That's not, it's not a super like complimentary comment. It's just kind of like, oh, wait, you must be from Wisconsin, you know, sort of thing. Why do you think the Manitowoc Minute took off nationally the way it did?
Well, I think that largely that audience was underserved to one degree, but also there's so much pride in Wisconsin. And I think it has a lot to do with the Packers and a lot to do with the fact that the community owns that team, at least on paper, you know, and it's the only NFL team with that structure, you know, where the fans are the owners. And that just brings a community together. It's also the smallest market in the NFL. So there's a lot of pride and, you know, that sort of underdog, small town kind of thing, you know, and we also don't take ourselves too seriously. And so when you kind of create a show that embodies a lot of that, I think people resonated with it. And then it was sort of the snowball effect, you know. It got into the algorithm and it was like, oh, people are responding well to this. So it kept pushing it out to more people, and then word of mouth sort of spread. So yeah, I think it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you know, I like it because all of a sudden, you know, this accent that I have isn't like, I don't know, like I talk like Charlie does. So I mean, it's a good thing, right?
I mean, I think that's a nice thing too. You know, for it to go from like kind of maybe a not as cool thing that maybe kind of a cool thing or like a unique thing, or people then associate the accent with comedy. So I think that's good, you know? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of guessing that those are the reasons why it took off. But, you know, and even my thing, I didn't embrace that. You know, I was in the news business for a while. So I, in fact, got a voice coach to teach me how to not talk like that.
Charlie, I also love to ask people for a kindness tip. I kind of think you gave it to us a little bit when you talked about your siblings, but maybe you have a more specific kindness tip.
Well, yeah, I do think it's, You know, a lot of times we get stressed in life because we're thinking about ourselves. But if you can just find a little, it doesn't even need to be a big thing. Actually, you know what? Here's a good one. When someone like offends you or whatever, or like goes out of their way to say something about you, the kindest thing you can do is, and one of my buddies told me this, is kind of a return to sender moment. You know, you get mail in your inbox, your actual inbox, the mailman brings. Yeah. And it's like, it's not supposed to go to you. It was going to someone else, you know? And so you write on the thing, return to sender. And, the reason you do that is if someone's being, not kind to you, it really, most of the time, it has nothing to do with you. If it does, certainly address it. But most of the time, it's an overreaction. It doesn't, it has something to do going on in their lives. And they're having a tough go of it. They're not processing their feelings the way they should or whatever. So if you accept their meanness or whatever, or their insult, and you respond back accordingly, well, all they are going to do is dig their heels in, and it's going to be self-perpetuating. And then you're going to be mean to someone else, and they're going to be mean to someone else, and the cycle continues. So if you can just break that cycle and just say, you know, just try to find a non-condescending way to be kind to them in return, that will very much so disarm them. And they may not show it immediately, but I think when they're driving in the car, they'll appreciate it the next day. And maybe they won't do that to someone else in the future. And you'll feel better about it. You know, we get dopamine when we are collaborating and when we're helping. That's a scientific fact that you'd have to Google the article, but I know I read it once.
No, it's true.
And, yep. Yeah, you release dopamine, so it makes you feel better. So, and it doesn't have to be anything big. It could just be shoveling some lazy jerk sidewalk who didn't get up early enough to do it, you know? So very simple things. And and just, you know, don't worry about, life's too short, you know?
Yep. Hey, I so appreciate your time and you talking to us. I just want to extend this invitation to you. And that's that, you know, I can't really hook you up with Packers or Bucks tickets, but if you ever want to go to a Brewers game, I could get you bleacher seats there. Like,
oh, geez. Could you get me?
Yeah.
That'd be slick. Yeah. I like the Euchre seats.
The Euchre seats. Oh,
yeah,
Bob.
Those are nice. Yeah. I bring my binoculars, you know, and it's like you're watching it on the telly.
Yep.
Except you're right there.
Except
well,
you're
thank
there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
very kind of you to offer.
Well, it is the kindness podcast. So I just wanted to slide that out there for you. Hey, Charlie, it has been so great talking with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Great talking to you too. Take care.
Once again, we thank Charlie Behrens. I'm Nicole Phillips. This episode of the Kindness Podcast is a Wow God production, a ministry of the University of Northwestern St. Paul. Discover more at wowgod.com. Do you know someone who could use a little extra kindness in their life? Let them know about the Kindness Podcast. Like and subscribe at Apple, Spotify, and Google. And check out my books and blog on the socials. They're at Nicole J. Phillips. Once again, thanks to our sponsor, United Faith Mortgage. United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York, licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org, corporate NMLS number 1330, equal housing lender, not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Charlie Behrens, this is Peg from Peg and Millie Show and Women Celebrate. Just want to send you lots of love, all kinds of hugs and kisses. And you know what? Go back, go and beep the bears, okay? Number one, I also have a real good friend you might want to meet. Her name is Goose Tracker Francis. She's really something, okay? I hope we can get in touch. God bless. Peace out.